Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Lowe's early Black Friday deals are going fast. Don't miss up to 50% off select major appliances. Plus, up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. And with Christmas around the corner, you're going to need more string lights, right? Save $4 on GE LED 100-count string lights, now just $5.98. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
It's Power Hour, LSU.
Let's freaking go. It sucks to be a Florida Gator. We have won 6 of the last 7. Are you kidding me? Deshaun Spears? What was the difference in last year's game to this year's game? We didn't have good defensive backs. And DJ Lagway looked like the second freaking coming. And tonight, a lot of us was introduced to potentially the next great safety at LSU, Deshaun Spears. Of course, we're going to talk about the offense. Of course, we're going to talk about that unfreaking believable piece of coaching by Brian Kelly in the post-game press conference. Him going off on the media. We'll get to that in just a second. Now, it is so weird in a post-game press conference that I share a macro opinion compared to a micro opinion. A micro opinion is stuff that just happened, right? Stuff that will be dated here in just a couple of days. A macro opinion, though, is a grand scale look at LSU football as a whole. And we could pick apart so many different Brian Kelly things. We can. And there are some aspects of his coaching that we saw pop up again tonight. We saw timeout usage that wasn't the absolute best. That is starting to get very frustrating. We saw some special teams mistakes having to blow timeouts there, even though Chadwick, the punter, was the MVP outside of Deshaun Spears. You see the poll question there brought to you by our friends at Labor Therapy. Go ahead and vote on it. If you're listening to this on iTunes, Spotify, please shoot me a message at Power Hour LSU. Let me know who you think the game MVP was tonight. But the truth here is that you should thank whichever deity you believe in tomorrow. I believe in Jesus and the cross, and a lot of you believe in a lot of different things. I thank every single being out there that you might worship. that Billy Napier is not our coach, because we did not coach the best game. And a lot of you have your opinions on Joe Sloan as an offensive coordinator. I have my opinions on Joe Sloan as an offensive coordinator. It is painful to talk about the play calling at LSU. It is one of those things that just gets old and old and old when you see a run and the defense is teeing off and just knifing into the backfield like prime Ray Lewis playing behind Tony Siragusa. But thank goodness gracious that Scott Woodward didn't go get Sunbelt Billy, because he was terrible. DJ Lagway was terrible. And a lot of what went wrong is Lagway being overrated. And we told you going into the season, he was overrated. All our PHL deep dives said that very thing. But part of him having the worst game we have ever seen, maybe from this super five-star true sophomore quarterback, is that Blake Baker was amazing again tonight. And I know Deshaun Spears will be the story. How do we use him moving forward with A.J. Halsey and Tamarcus Cooley playing at a high level? Jordan Gilbert's done some good things. Tonight, to me, defensively, was about Harold Perkins. He is locked in. He took over this defense when Whit Weeks went out. Wes Weeks goes out. Brian Kelly in the postgame press conference is saying, look, I don't even know where, if the Weeks bros, the youngest, if he knows how to get to the Cox building. And the Cox building is the academic center that is up the hill next to Tiger Stadium. And of course, he knows where that is. But you get the point. There's a lot of young guys that stepped in there. Walter Mathis is starting to play a lot more. Tylan Singleton, 46, is a friend of the channel. All those things are great. They're absolutely wonderful. But the truth is, Brian Kelly, to me, coached a fine game tonight. Did he need to go off on Michael Cobble in the postgame press conference? I think he's just fed up with people like us. I really do think so. But the truth is, Blake Baker is the best coach on the staff right now, and it's not close. What he's doing right now is nasty. And you can't just say it's the players. 70% of it is the players, maybe even more than that. But our best player went out. The targeting call on Whit Weeks early in the game was horse manure. We have stated plenty of different ways you can fix targeting. But y'all, college football has a lot of different things it needs to fix. Targeting, to me, is lower on the list, but in terms of in-game penalties, it's probably the worst. It's probably the worst. So, for me, survive in advance, win this game, see if you can get something going offensively. But I am going to be that media member that Brian Kelly was talking about. I know he was focusing on Michael Cobble. But here's the problem. He says in the post-game press conference that, hey, we are a defensive-minded team. That's who we are as a program, and we are winning games in that way. And that's perfectly fine. I am very happy that the old LSU defense is back, and we have superstars and legends like Tyrann Mathieu tweeting out DBU is back and all those different things. But you can't tell me that this offense is worthy of a college football playoff right now. I'm not saying that this college football playoff offense can actually happen. I think it can, but we are not worthy of being a college football playoff team with the offense performing the way it is right now. We just can't. We don't deserve it. And I'm going to touch on this briefly, but today, from our vantage point, SEC is a week-to-week league. Our schedule got tougher. Y'all, Florida is the worst team we're going to play in the SEC this year. Maybe it's South Carolina. We'll see what the Sellers thing looks like here in a few weeks. But Vanderbilt looks really good. Arkansas and Ole Miss look like some pretty good offenses. That was a sloppy, crazy game. And then Texas A&M looks for real. They had the most exciting win outside of Georgia today, and that game was crazy with A&M winning 41-40. So really excited for LSU to find a way to get this done. But man, offensively, there are so many questions that we need to answer. And I don't mind going live all the way up till 8 in the morning. At the film study, I want to be here with you guys. We're still going to do a film study, and it'll be in your inbox tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Yusha, thank you for the super chat. We really appreciate you. You'll get the first topic. Go right on ahead, my brother. Let's go to Jalen. He says, you can't guarantee the defense is going to be on every game. I just realized that my shirt is getting picked up by the green thing. It actually looks kind of cool. You could see through me right now. Look, I think for me, there are going to be some games where defensively we're going to get just absolutely torched, and that's okay. At least one game, this defense is going to falter. But could this defense be 2011 LSU good? I think it can be. I really do think so. And look, is some of it the opposition we've played? Sure, Clemson's offense has not looked great. They've not put up a 30-point game yet. The last couple of weeks, Florida's offense didn't look great, and you saw what happened to South Florida today. Now, there's going to be some hangover, so that's part of the reason why the Miami game happened the way that it did. But
have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
And of course, we play Louisiana Tech. They're terrible. I think for me, I am still in a position where LSU's defense is the best defense in the SEC. At the same time, we have not faced Georgia's offense and Colby Young and those receivers. We have not played Tennessee, nor will we play them. But we do have some tough offenses on our slate that we need to be ready for. Okay? And then obviously there's going to be a lot of questions about the Clemson result from today. Not too worried about that, okay? You know, I think part of it is Clemson was broken. Losing the Death Valley battle in Death Valley, I think if we were to lose to them next year, we would have a hangover as well, okay? So I want to get to the Brian Kelly exchange. We do have audio here, and here's BK firing back. And Michael Cobble.
But what are you seeing with your offense?
Stop. Really? Is that the first question? We won the game 20-10. Try another question. What do you want me to tell you? I just laid it out for you. We played the game to win the game. We played the game to win the game.
All right. How about third down then? What is going on with third down?
One game. Last game, we were great on third down. You're looking at this from the wrong perspective. LSU won the football game, won the game. I don't know what you want from me. What do you want? You want us to win 70-0 against Florida to keep you happy?
No, I think people want to know why you can't run the ball, quite honestly.
We can run the ball. Did you see the last play of the game? That's all you need. You just need one. There's a ridiculous questions, and I'm getting tired of it. That football team just worked their tail off to get an SEC win, and you want to know what's wrong. You know what? You're spoiled. You're spoiled. This team is 17-1 at night. 17-1. Give them some respect. How about that? Give them some respect instead of micro-analyzing every little thing. This is ridiculous. For a group of seasoned reporters, that kind of question is so out of line.
Okay. Let me start by saying this. I do not have a relationship with Brian Kelly. I don't. I've never spoken to him. I honestly don't think we've ever been in the same room, as crazy as that sounds. But obviously, I like BK a lot. I've been in the same stadium as him. I think that counts. But, you know, I'm not close to Michael Cobble. I'm not. We're friends. I like seeing him. You know, he is always so nice. And he's got a good relationship with Brian Kelly. I would be very shocked if Brian Kelly did not send Michael Cobble a text apologizing. He mentioned Cobble a little bit later in the press conference. And Brian Kelly also said on Monday's press conference that he feels the post-game press conference that he does with media is not smart because there's still juices flowing and you really haven't been able to see the film and get a full eval. And I agree with them in that aspect, right? It's really hard to break down anything in detail without, you know, going through the all 22 and all that. So I get all of that. I think post-game press conference questions are better served for why did you call this timeout fourth quarter or whatever. But this is going to be the big news. Anytime Brian Kelly blows up in a post-game press conference, whether it be the table smash or whatever, it's going to get passed around. And it's also one of those things where people just don't like Brian Kelly. So anytime he is shown being terse, people are going to label him an asshole, which is unfair, right? I can understand him being frustrated. Now, here's the main issue I have with Brian Kelly's, well, actually there's two, with that retort with Michael Cobble. The first is I can't get there on the Caden Durham run. I just can't get there. It's the end of the game. Florida's soul is crushed. That defense only allowed 20 points. The offense, which is, by the way, play called by the head coach, throws five interceptions. Second straight week in a row, they fail the Florida defense, which has had injuries and a lot of ups and downs emotionally, a lot of coaching changes. And let's be honest, there is a very motivated Jack Pyburn out there that sprung Caden on that run. I've always shared, obviously, I have a relationship with Jack, and he's been on the channel. But, you know, so I'm always going to chat him out when he does something really good. But it was something different, right? Florida was not ready for that. And I give Jack and Caden and the entire offensive line a lot of credit. But the thing is, if you're going to say that Michael Cobble is micro pulling apart what just happened, a win versus the Florida Gators. By the way, it sucks to be a Florida Gator. Yes, sir. We have won six out of the last seven. Think about that. Think about this Florida Gator program. I don't care how sucky they are. We have won six of the last seven. It's ridiculous. And a lot of that, of course, is Jaden. But, well, I say a lot. 33% of the victories is Jaden Daniels' excellence. But whatever the case may be, to say that that is a micro way of breaking down the victory is wrong, because this is a macro problem. We just talked at the beginning about the difference between micro and macro. This is a big scale problem. We cannot run the ball. We know we have a really good running back in Caden Durham. That is not something that can be, I guess you could say, picked apart. Now, does Caden miss holes? Yeah, he's a young running back. But I thought Cobble's question was fair. I think Brian Kelly was a little perturbed that it was the first question and not that the defense was amazing, which it was. It really was. Okay. Now, let's dissect the offense, and let's start with the positives, and we're going to get to all your comments. I think Aaron Anderson will be a player when he leaves LSU who won't be forgotten about in the near term, but kind of sort of will be forgotten about in the long term. And I'm going to tell you why. Because the players we truly remember are the superstars. It's just how it works, especially at LSU when we've had all these different superstar wide receivers. Aaron Anderson is probably going to be kind of in this, maybe not so great, but honestly, quite as great, Dwayne Bowe category, where he just does not have bad games. Think about what Aaron Anderson has done. I want you to really process what this young man has been through. Early in his career, knee problems. Was one of the most hyped Louisiana high school wide receivers. Controversially goes to Alabama over LSU. Then, before he ever plays a down, a meaningful down at LSU, Nick Saban is saying, hey, you should have never left. And it honestly made Aaron look bad. I really do think it made Aaron look bad. And then Aaron really couldn't find his way with the Jaden offense because, you know, it was BTJ, Malik, Kyron, and Mason. But the truth is, Aaron made a few plays that season. You go into the next year, and there's not a whole lot of Aaron Anderson hype. He does what he does. And then you go into this year, there is some Aaron Anderson hype, but he doesn't get the SEC Media Day invite. And what has Aaron Anderson done in a rough offensive environment? Every game, every single game Aaron Anderson plays, he has given you 6 yards or 6 catches for 70-plus yards. Every single time. Now, are you going to get the Jamar Chase 9 for 221 and 2 TDs versus Clemson level game from Aaron Anderson? No. Occasionally, you get that 150-ish Aaron game like he had versus Texas A&M. He is so damn good. Aaron Anderson is so damn good. And I doubted him. I am one of the pundits that doubted him. Aaron could come to my face and pause, big pause. But he can see me face to face and say, look, you doubted me. It's not that I didn't think he would be good. I just don't think he would have been this good. I'm serious. Because I was so high on Xavion. And Xavion is now really good for LSU, obviously catching the lone Garrett Nussmeier touchdown pass tonight. But y'all, this is a shitty offensive environment, and Aaron still produces. He is a constant. He is the one constant that we have on this offense, that Aaron is going to give us something. Okay? So, I don't want Brian Kelly getting mad at me for not, you know, pointing out the positives. Aaron Anderson, it is time for me to say this. He is the best player on our offense. I thought it was Garrett. I thought it was Caden. Right now, it is Aaron. It is Aaron Anderson. Respect him. And all of you do. I'm not saying you don't. Aaron's that guy. He is that guy. I it's literally crazy how good he is. It's crazy. Stupendously good. We move on. Bower Sharp, wonderful catch. You saw the speed there. One of Joe Sloan's better play calls on the night. I would say it's probably his best play call. Xavion continues, a wonderful season. You know, part of why Xavion is so good, it's these little things. You know, he had a few nice plays that aren't receiver type of plays. You know, he had that tackle versus Clemson after the fumble at the end of the half, and then he had another one tonight. He's just a guy that, you know, I've always liked a whole heck of a lot. I don't think he gives this offense that vertical ceiling you're looking for, which is, you know, what we're waiting for from Chris. Berrion had a nice catch early in this game as well. Wide receiver room is fine. I think we could come to the conclusion that this wide receiver room is very good. Now, is it transcendent like 2023 or 2012 or 2019? No, but it's very good. It's college football playoff worthy, and it's a top 5 wide receiver room in the SEC right now. So, you know, we do all our player grades. You'll get them all on Patreon when this live stream ends. I'm giving them a solid B tonight for their performance. But, you know, I felt Cortez was better in this game. I can't wait to see what the actual PFF snap counts were. It's really hard to keep up with that. But, you know, we'll see how that plays out. Offensive line wise, you know, it's just is what it is now. I hate that analysis. I hate that idiom. Is what it is. It's just so lazy. But it was fine. Okay, it honestly was fine. Braylon being back out there just makes you feel a lot better. He also made a really nice tackle after the Garrett Nussmeier interception. You know, I wonder if you do think a little bit about this if you are Sloan. Do you actually want to at least think about using Jack Pyburn more on offense? The block was that good. Do you think about it? Now, if you do, you would have to go under center for that to work. What have we been saying? Okay. Now, we're going to try and get Max Toscano back on Tuesday night. A lot of the film things that we discussed during that live stream bared out tonight as well. The outside zone principles are still shaky. We don't think it's being taught properly. And I think that's tough considering where we are sitting right now. But I will tell you this. I know they lost today and we won. But when you watch Tennessee run block, and then when you watch us run block, it's so ridiculous how well Tennessee is coached. Like, it is so crazy. Tennessee was my number one power-rated SEC team. I kind of want them to be that again this week because they did choke that game away against Georgia. And I hate to say that because Josh Heupel is my guy, but he coached like a coward in the fourth quarter. You know, we use this idiom all the time, David versus Goliath. And, you know, shout out to my fellow Christians. But even if you're not a Christian, you know, David slingshotted Goliath. That's not really how you beat Goliath, though. You have to slay Goliath as if he could fire breathe like a dragon. And Tennessee chose to not do that. Should they have still won the game? Yes, they were the better team today. But that's why Kirby Smart is one of the greatest college football coaches of all time. Okay? Now, let's get to a few other comments. Oh, Neighbors 8. Pierce, that was a Pause of the Week award. Pierce, if you want clicks, you can take that comment and share it 1,000 times. Someone's going to do it. I already feel it. Oh, man, another pause. Sourdough Man, I have a feeling we're going to get a few more PHL memberships tonight. Okay? If you sign up for a PHL membership tonight, I will send you an autograph card. Whoever it is. Not me. You don't want my autograph. An actual LSU autograph. Tonight. Okay? Now, John Crawford. Does it look like I'm Shane Gillis? I haven't watched Tires yet. I have not. What is it? It's Stavros is on the show. Stavros, one of the funniest men alive. Stavros. We get a Venmo. Always appreciate those. Those go straight into the bank account. And this is from Branson. Let me take a look at this. Branson, let me know if you're in the chat. Okay. Thought I missed another super. Two issues. Branson says, we have no explosiveness. Okay, excuse me. We have no explosives as opposed to like Tennessee, who has so many, even though we have a great explosive QB and weapons. So Garrett, of course, is explosive with his arm, but is he? He's not really the most accurate deep ball thrower. He is an intermediate assassin. And he's also not an explosive runner. I do give Garrett a lot of credit for the decision to scramble on that third and long to make it a more manageable field goal for Ramos. I know that kick from 48 out looked good enough from longer than that, but Ramos doesn't have a big leg. So if he has to kick from 50 plus, it's a little bit more of a strain. All right, so that was a good decision right there by Garrett. We have no run game, which is why we have no explosives, because they don't have to account for it. So it's interesting you bring that up, Branson, because there is a guy who actually does a style of YouTube video that I've always wanted to do. It's just I'm not as talented as this guy. His name is Michael McKelvey, okay? And yeah, I could do it. It wouldn't nearly be as good as his. But you guys know I'm a deep philosophical sports thinker, or at least I try to be. He is like that as well. And his recent deep dive was on play action. And do you need to establish a run for your deep shots to work? And the answer to that is no, right? The biggest deep shot we've had in a while was the Bauer Sharp throw. The reason it worked is because of the run fake. Even though they were destroying our run, play action still works explosiveness-wise, even if we don't have a good running game. Now, Branson, you are also correct, though, that I still think a good running game helps out your explosiveness. And the bottom line is our running game does need to get better. Okay? Wait. Is that how that ended? I guess I need to go pick up the good book again. Huh? You're calling me out here. Right, TJB. David cut Goliath's head off.
Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
After he toppled him with the rock. Branson Cat, please correct me on this, because Branson goes to church. Branson works in the churches. Not the chicken, but the actual. That was such a bad joke. I could go for a church's three-piece right now. I'm a Popeyes guy, though. Actually, y'all talk me into the Blue Store hype. Blue Store hype is for real. I also found this denomination, another pun, to be very interesting. $20.10. There you go. All right, so of course, Brand's account would get me straight on there. Let's go to Cody. He says, throw verticals every play. All right, let's dissect this comment. Can you just throw verticals? Well, the Aaron Anderson 3rd-and-8 completion were verts. Okay, so they ran verticals, and it was in the face of a blitz, and Garrett was able to, of course, layer that bad boy in there. Garrett has no problem throwing in the intermediate. He has none, okay? He is one of the best intermediate throwers of the football we have ever seen in college football, in particular over the middle. It's just You know, there's more to it than just that. Now, coming up next, after a word from our friends at Labor Therapy, what does LSU decide to do here with Joe Sloan? Should there be a change with Joe Sloan? I've not really mentioned his name yet, and I'll tell you why after a quick word from the people that keep this broadcast free, our friends at Labor Therapy.
Power Hour Network listeners and viewers, you might be consuming this content with that crick in your back that you've been trying to get rid of for so long. Take this as your sign today to book your appointment with LaborTherapy.com. In the Lafayette region, there is no one that you will find that cares more about any different type of pain that you might have than the team at LaborTherapy.com. Book today. Once again, that's LaborTherapy.com, or you can visit one of their five locations all throughout the Lafayette region.
We also want to shout out Zion Imaging and Zion 360 Spin Booth Experience, XYAN Imaging, XYAN360.com. Okay. Joe Sloan was not great tonight. I don't need to tell you that. But I do think it's important to point out that there are some things that he's trying to overcome. This offensive line is not that good. It's just not that good. Are there some play callers who can work around it? Yes, Josh Heupel does all the time. He had two PFF graded tackles in the 50s last year. And Tennessee made it work with Nico, who is terrible. They made it to the college football playoff. And their offense was way better than ours this year. Now, is Dylan Sampson better than Kaden Durham? Maybe a little bit, but not by a lot. that sounds very biased by me because Dylan was the SEC Offensive Player of the Year last year, but the play calling is not it, okay? But I'm going to defend him because I always get a better look at the play call sequencing when I get the actual tape. All 22, all that stuff. And I'll give you a better look-see after that as far as Joe Sloan. Let's talk about Garrett, though. The interception in the fourth quarter was, to me, arguably Garrett's worst interception ever. Now, the truth is, nothing will probably beat the A&M one rolling out to his left, knowing where we were in the game at that juncture. Winning the game at that juncture. But that was on the road. We were under a lot of pressure in that game. This one, we are still undefeated. You roll out to the right side. And if you actually watch the play, there really wasn't anywhere for him to throw the football to other than Kaden. But if you're outside the tackle box, you just got to throw it five rows deep, past the line of scrimmage, and live to fight another down, especially if you're up 20-10. That was one of the worst Garrett Nussmeier interceptions, and it's honestly selfish. There's no way he thought that was going to work, knowing that similar interceptions such as that has happened to him when he rolls out and tries to extend plays. So this is what's interesting about Garrett, who, by the way, was not terrible tonight. Garrett was not bad. But the thing that Garrett doesn't get enough credit for, because, you know, we look at him as just this pocket quarterback, is that when he was a quarterback at Marcus High School, he played a more Manzellian style where it wasn't him scrambling, but he would extend and wait for someone to get wide open and then throw it to him. And then once he realized that he has a superpower, which is anticipation, he really worked on eliminating the play extension aspect of his game, always being his go-to. That is really hard to do. There are some quarterbacks who can never get that out of their system. Then, whether or not you want to admit this, Garrett is probably pissed at the offensive structure right now. And he had all this hype going into this season for him to be something. So do I think he was just trying to go Hollywood on that interception right there? Yeah. Do I think it's him saying, hey, it's all about me, all about me? No. But it's selfish because you're trying to make a play that makes you look good, that you know has a low percentage chance of happening. You want to throw that to Aaron Anderson, who's used to being in traffic over the middle of the field? Sure, but not Caden Durham. But I give LSU a lot of credit, Braylon Moore hustling to quickly make that tackle, and our defense responding like they did all night, okay? It's a problem. It's a big problem. You can't, in that situation, put yourself above the team and make that interception. You just can't. But outside of that, I thought Garrett, on a scale of 1 to second half Ole Miss from last year, I would say Garrett is probably a 5 Garrett game. I know he's frustrated. I know Chris Hilton's frustrated. I get it. But we're winning. We're winning. So you take that and you move on. Now, is there anything from this game that we can take to Southeastern next week and learn about this team? Now, most would say no. There's nothing you can learn about LSU versus Southeastern next week. Okay? So what is Southeastern's program this year? Well, they are really bad. They're really bad. Okay? Now, they lost week one to Louisiana Tech 24-0. Now, they've won 2 consecutive games since then. But next week, there are no excuses for this offense to not look like the Harlem Globetrotters on grass. Okay? So we can learn next week if this offense is Brandon Harris-led offense level bad. Now, I'm not saying Garrett is Brandon Harris. I'm just using that as an example. Less miles towards the end of his tenure level bad, which is ironic because the one play outside of the Bauer Sharp explosive that actually worked tonight was when we actually got physical and put a fullback out there, which is less miles level stuff. Okay. I don't care. I'll go all night. I'm a little subdued, a little tired from watching this game tonight. Not as energetic as I normally am. Doing the later live stream. Sometimes I like to stagger just to see how it works out tonight. Be on at the same time of all the other live streams. And sometimes I do just like to hear what Brian Kelly has to say at the end. Let's go to Jace Max, who has been very vocal of his disdain towards Sloan. Okay. And by the way, we got to get Jace Max to a game. Carter, Sloan is 100% pussyfooting around with these play calls. Garrett wants to sling that thing. He's pissed. Berrion had 2 targets. BK's post-game reporter asked some real questions. Okay. Let's start with the latter. I've already, played the clip, and I defended Cobble, and now that I've thought about it more, I'm going to defend him again. I'm telling you right now, Brian Kelly is going to get destroyed by the national media saying what he said. But I think he also said it for his players to see it so they can know he has their back. Because Brian Kelly is really hard on his players and coaches during games. He is not afraid to go full pink tomato on your ass. Also, Brian Kelly might be pissed because this is the second time in three games he has been decked. I mean, absolutely destroyed. One by Weston Davis tonight, and then, of course, the Clemson sideline kerfuffle with the referee. But whatever the case may be, Brian Kelly, I don't think he handled that great, but I understood what he's doing. What about Bayreon Brown tonight? You know, I had a really good catch early in the game. It's a downside of this offense. There's so many good wide receivers that you're going to run into this problem. I mean, Chris Hilton didn't get a target tonight. Not a single target. Caden Durham, 15 carries for 93 yards, 51 on that final run. LSU, I give them credit, 2 50-plus yard plays, 3 30-plus yard plays, 4 20-plus yard plays tonight. We'll take that all day, every day. 6.1 yards per play. Really good. Okay. Is it elite? No. Is it kind of garbage timey? Yeah, with the Caden run at the end. Also, I know Brian Kelly's emotions are intertwined there. He's got to tell Caden Durham to fall down. I am very glad Carmani McClain tackled him, because I did not want our defense to go back out there and us have another injury. So we need to relay that to a home run hitting running back, that if you do break into the clear, we need you to fall down just to run out the clock. But I also get Caden Durham. He's frustrated. He wants to get an explosive touchdown. I get it. But yes, I do think it is fair to say that Joe Sloan has problems, okay? The play calling is not working. It's not. I will tell you that it is really, really, really hard doing SEC offensive film studies and then coming over to do LSU offensive film studies. It is really hard to do it. Why? Because those play callers are just so much better. They're so much better than what we are doing right now. And I feel like I'm in a somewhat unique position to really expound on that, because I do film reviews of the absolute best play callers in all college football right now. Guys that would be on everybody's top 15 list right now. I do one on Josh Heupel every week. I do one on Bobby Petrino every week. I do one, every now and then I do a Steve Sarkisian, who I think is still the best SEC play caller. I know what good play calling looks like. It's not that. It's not that. We are running into the arms of linebackers every single time. Now, here's the thing. Where my football knowledge has issues is, what do I suggest LSU do? That's where it gets really hard. And it's hard, even if Steve Sarkisian was sitting here and watched the full LSU game, he would probably tell you, I'm not in the meeting room. I don't know. I'm not at practice. He would need to be at practice to really decide what LSU would need to do. I don't know, guys. I really, really, really don't know. But I also do know. You've got to figure out the pistol. you want that to be such a big thing of what you are. And a lot of offenses want to be pistol offenses. I do think now that so many high schools run that formation now, it's just not as, I guess you could say, a thing that differentiates you enough for you to be able to just run it effectively. I also don't think we have the talent to run pistol. If you're going to run outside zone at a pistol, you have to have offensive linemen that can get lateral on that first step. And it doesn't look like we have that. So is that a Brad Davis thing, or am I wrong about that? I don't know. Obviously, Braylon is playing really well right now. Mike's saying I'm being too soft on Sloan. Maybe I am. Look, could there be a world where there's more to it that meets the eye? Yeah, but to me, I am a sample size coach. This is a year and a half in the making now. And what did we say all offseason? There's a site named GameOnPaper.com, which is an advanced analytics site. What GameOnPaper.com tracks is stats like EPA per play, and they look into games in a probabilistic nature. So we had a Patreon exclusive interview with Saeem Ghalani, who was one of the founders of GameOnPaper.com. And if you go to the website, it's a bunch of confusing numbers. So unless you want to really dive deep, 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 I don't recommend you going there. But if you're a college football nerd like me, go there and you get all the EPA numbers for free. And I asked them, I said, hey, do you think there is something to LSU being a good third and long team? And he said, yes. But what his numbers would suggest is third and long teams, by nature, are teams that don't produce in the long term. Basically meaning third and longs are volatile. So what was the LSU offense last year? We were a third and long offense. We converted a metric F-ton. Of third and seven here, third and eight here, third and nine there. So what does that mean? Our offense is regressing to the mean in a major way. So basically, what Ghalani suggested was, even though the LSU offense, by quite a few measures, was a good offense,
Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Could be massive regression of an offense that lost four offensive linemen to the draft, the best left tackle to ever play at the school, and the best tight end to ever play at the school. And even though Kyren was inconsistent, he was very good. He was a third down converter for us, and Garrett liked throwing him the football a lot, sometimes too much. Okay. Let's go to Jay Smax. He says, Carter, please tell me how we get 5 interceptions, 4 extra possessions, and we scored 13 points as an offense. It's bad. It's bad. You know, I don't know. I think I'm still going to have Tennessee and Georgia still as my top 2 power-ranked teams. I think you have to move Texas A&M ahead of LSU now, though, as much as I hate to say it. That was impressive. I've not been able to sit down and watch it. But that Ole Miss game becomes a lot more interesting. Okay. Now, I do want to share a positive about the LSU offense. While at the same time, this pushes back on Joe Sloan. Okay? You know, I say, and I use this analogy all the time, that play calling is storytelling. All right? Play calling in many ways is storytelling structure, but even more so, it's actually stand-up comedy structure, except you're not trying to make anyone laugh. You're trying to do misdirection. Now, there are things in football called misdirection plays, so don't get confused with that. But basically, you want to show the offense things that you've done and basically work different variations of the play off of those plays. Okay? So that gets into play calling sequencing and being unpredictable and all those different things. We are not very good in that aspect. But this is the most damning evidence as to why the LSU offense is not great. And if I am Brian Kelly, I am never receiving a first half kickoff again. Okay? So I want to shout this guy out. This is going to be kind of a nerdy thing as well. I talked to him on Twitter this week. And he sent me a graph. Let me make sure I get his name. Quinn McLean of Sumar Sports. He is a senior data scientist there. And I'm actually going to put this chart up on the screen. All right. You know you're a college football diehard if you're going to be looking at this chart at this hour. But here we go. And once again, before I share this chart, this is very small sample size, but this does apply to us here. Okay. Now let me make sure I'm sharing this correctly. Okay. So we scored 3 first quarter points, but we were able to score 13 as a whole. Okay, I wanted to make sure I had the exact number correct. Okay. So the best Garrett Nussmeier offenses have been at the end of second quarters. Only last year versus Alabama in the Clemson season opener, Garrett Nussmeier has failed to score at the end, at the final 5 minutes of the second quarter. Okay. But take a look at this. This is so fascinating to me. This is a graph showing how good your offenses are in scripted and non-scripted situations. So in the top right corner of this graph, you see Arkansas and UC Oregon. Okay? Both of those schools have not played anyone when this graph was made. Now, you know, that changed tonight. But this was just through the first couple of weeks. And you could see LSU is towards the upper left quadrant. And if you're listening to this via podcast, I'll just give you the TLDR version so we can move on. Because I know a lot of you don't want to look at fancy, smancy graphs. Some of you do, though. Basically, if you're in the top left, that means offensively, you are still good, but you're not good in the first 15 plays of the game. And this is important context. Every team, I say every team, it's impossible to know this. But I would venture off to say 90% of teams at all levels of football has their first 15 plays picked out or variations of those plays picked out. That's their script to get going in standard down situations with the score 0-0. What a scripted play is, are those first 15 plays. And you saw that we are not good in those first 15 plays. So let's actually take a look. This is just your eyes here, looking at the drive summary from tonight. Okay, and we're Discording this as well. So join the PHL Patreon, you can be in the Discord. Right here. First drive, three and out. Second drive, three and out. Third drive, three and out. That's nine plays of those 15 that go towards the scripted count. 6 yards, 9 yards, 1 yard. I didn't mean to exit out that soon. But you take a look here. At the end of the second quarter, or in the second quarter, what happens? Field goal, touchdown, punt, end of half. Okay. What did we tell you? In the final 5 minutes of the second quarter, LSU always finds a way to score. But we also had two other possessions, and they sucked, as you could see. So what does it mean if a team sucks in the first quarter, but starts finding a way to figure it out in the second quarter? Well, you can make a case that we are really good at adjusting, or we have a lot of talent, we just don't know how to use it. All right. Now, I say that because earlier today on Power Hour SEC, I did a film study on the two best opening drives I've ever seen in college football history. Back to back, Georgia, Tennessee, play calling excellence. And Georgia fans hate Mike Bobo. Oh my God, do they hate Mike Bobo. I would destroy Mike Bobo. I would destroy anything to get Mike Bobo here. Now, he wouldn't be my first choice. Now, this is a good question. Is the script BK or Sloan? I'll tell you this. Based on my understanding, BK was heavily involved with the Clemson script. And overall design. Maybe I'm wrong on that. But either way, Sloan called a good game in week one. The problem is you can't just run that doohickey screen here, screen there offense. Teams are too good. They'll figure that out. Georgia had been doing that, but you saw today that's not what they did today. They got vertical. Let's go to Darius. He's accusing me of talking like I'm not happy we're 3-0. Well, that's why you got to tune in at the beginning. That's where you get positive Carter. That's where you get T-Pain, buy me a drink, Carter. I didn't say buy you a drink, which is a proper way of saying that. I want you to buy me a drink, Darius, for that malarkey comment. I'll say what I want on my channel. I'm kidding. Welcome, Darius. Sergeant says we won, but it doesn't feel like it. Bucci, good to see you. I'm just happy I know what winning feels like. Think about it. You could be Notre Dame right now. who's 0-3 in their last three games. Let's go to Jason Max. Chris Hilton had zero targets, by the way. Okay. Berrien Brown, I can hear out not having more targets because he's been good. He had two catches on those two targets as well. Now, I have repeatedly said Chris Hilton is still going to have a role on this team. And it was nice seeing him downing a punt on punting. But targets are earned, not given. Previous to this season, which season did Chris Hilton show that he is a true alpha? Two games. Baylor in Oklahoma versus Wisconsin. Malik left that game at halftime and BTJ was still the main guy. Now, Chris made some really good plays and he's made some other good plays in other games, but there have been more Chris plays a decent amount and he's a non-factor games than there have been more of those games than Chris plays a lot and he is a big factor on the outcome of the game. So, you know, it's important to point that out. Now, that's where practice becomes a piece of this equation as well. Chris was the best offseason receiver. That's based on multiple eyes who are at practice every single day. Not media eyes, just people who are there. Okay. It is hard to play wide receiver at LSU because you're competing against yourself, but you're more so competing against your peers. Damn, Mike. Here's what we're not going to do. We're not going to talk about coaches' wives. That's just unacceptable. Don't do it again, Mike. I'll block you. That's just unacceptable. Especially coaches' wives. Like, I understand, like, being a P4 wife, you're making six figures. You're driving an army tank. I mean, life is great. You know, Suburban, you get your lattes every morning. Just, you're living the life. It's still tough. It's still really tough. I mean, you're just not seeing your significant other all that much. So coaches' wives are always off limits to me. Unless, you know, they're in the news for something. And now I know you were being complimentary of his wife, so it's not like anything crazy, but now being back in high school football broadcasting, so I talk to a lot of high school football coaches. They barely get to see their own families during football season. So I'm all, you know, it's always going to be something sensitive. You said he has a hot wife for being ugly. What's it? That means Joe Sloan can recruit. Now let's go to Jace Max. But yeah, let's. If he was the best offseason receiver, why is Sloan not scheming for him? All I heard all offseason is how good Chris is, yet he has like three targets. Yeah, and this is so cliche, but it is so true. Okay? It's so freaking true. What happens in practice is so overrated. And that hurts me because I am a full-time college football content creator, and I like doing practice breakdowns. And I do think there are some things you can learn from media practice reports and so on and so on. But it has never meant less what you do in practice. Now, I do think habits are important. Going over situational things are important. But you dominating practice has nothing to do with the games. That's hyperbole. It doesn't have as much to do with the games as you would like to think. Okay? There's so much that just changes every cycle from spring practice. Even fall practice stuff changes. So, you know, Chris has always had these practice reps, and when you think about it, a wide receiver like him is always going to look better against air, right? He has one of the highest verticals we've ever seen an LSU wide receiver have, one of the fastest 40s. I mean, he glides, but there are some things that Chris doesn't do well that is difficult to pick up in practice, which is, what do you do with the football in your hands? He's not really a yak guy. How do you deal with real physical defensive backs? That's something you do practice quite a bit, if we're being fair, but it is still different at game speed. And if you look at some of the things he does on the field, does he jump early? When he's receiving passes? Yeah. What does that mean? Well, those kinds of mistakes normally means that the game is just moving so fast. All right. Let's keep it going with Blake. He says, Brian Kelly is yet to build a complete football team. Always had one side of the ball way underperforming. Whether that's him or his coordinators, it still falls back on him. Yes. Is that concerning? Yeah. It's a big concern for me. It's another one of those macro things. Okay. Now, let's get into the micro. A few interesting player decisions that was made. Walter Mathis continues to have a role on this team. It's three consecutive games a true freshman has played, while Sadir Mitchell was shown the door. Okay, so this was a year four, 320-pound defensive tackle versus a year one, 290-ish pound defensive tackle. You could tell Kyle Williams values guys that can move. So, I think that's interesting. I thought the youngest Weeks brother being the one they went to in that spot was also interesting. He's good. I think all the Weeks brothers are good. I will also say that West Weeks is playing so good right now. He really is. In the previous seasons, his actual linebacker reps weren't the best. He's good. He is a really good football player. And then to go one step further, because so much has been over the last 30 minutes or so of this live stream, it's been about the offense. Y'all, Harold Perkins is an All-American right now. He is an All-American. He was that good tonight. It is so nice to see number seven actually mean something again. He's been that good. And that is very good to see. Last year, he was not this good. So give Blake Baker a lot of credit. Honestly, Blake deserves 90% of the credit for a lot of what's happened so far this season. Well, Slater, I'm enjoying this. I'm enjoying this. Don't get it twisted. I am enjoying the ride that we are on. Now, here's what we are going to do in the next 10 to 15 minutes. I'm going to answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep it going. We did the late live stream tonight. Also, I'm going to something where my father-in-law tomorrow is being honored, my late father-in-law. So I'm really excited about that. And I'm not going to be able to just stay up all night because I don't sleep after Saturday game days. I don't think he would be like downgraded as in like he's not the OC anymore. But do I think, could we see Alex Atkins actually call the shots? I don't know. Because it's not as if he has vast play calling experience himself. Now, he does have OC experience, but my understanding is Norvell still called the shots at Florida State. So, we'll see. This is interesting. Let Alex Atkins call the second half against Southeastern. But that doesn't solve your problem, really. Because if you're wanting to get off to faster, that's another pause. If you want to be better at getting fast starts, you would need him to call the first 15. I think tempo would help. Less thinking involved. You know, this will sound like a criticism, but it's really not. The Tennessees, the Georgias, the Oregons, you know, these ridiculously explosive offenses. Yeah, they do a lot of checks at the line of scrimmage, too. All teams do some variations of checks and new plays from signals and all of that. But I do think we tend to do too much of it. And while there is extra value in getting into the best play, I think that value is really seen at the NFL level. More so than the college level, because the defensive players are so good in the NFL that getting into the most optimum play versus a look is so valuable. Whereas in college, I don't think that's as valuable. I also think we need, and maybe I'm wrong on that, I do think we also need to reevaluate how we number guys in the box. I'm not talking about like jersey numbers. But how do we sort out our blocking assignments? You know, one thing I'll say as far as Billy's coaching job at Florida, because, you know, Florida's a bad team right now. They're just not a good football team. Lagway's not playing well. It's fascinating to me why I think Florida is such a difficult place to win. It's that the state of Florida, I need to be very cautious with what I'm about to say, okay? All right. Every school has undisciplined kids. They do. We all have skeletons. We do. Georgia has speeding. Tennessee has a lot of off-field stuff. It's something that it's not brought up enough in the hypo era. There is a lot of off-field drama with individual players. But Florida players and Florida high school recruits, I've not been able to extrapolate this data because it honestly will take a month to do this. There's no AI that could do this. I'm serious, because it requires a whole heck of a lot of context. But Florida high school recruits, anecdotally, have a lot of issues when they go to P4 schools. When it comes to suspensions, arrests, anything of the like. Now, is that rate higher than that of kids from Louisiana or Texas or California? The answer to that is I don't know. But, man, a lot of Florida kids have that problem. And for some reason, Florida and Florida State in particular, those schools are really hard to develop culture. I don't know why. I don't know why. Now, do they have a lot of talent? Yeah. Yeah. And are there some of the most outstanding high school recruits that come from the state of Florida? Yeah. DJ Pickett is probably going to be the best player on our defense next year, depending on what Witt wants to do. Patrick Peterson's one of the best players to ever play at LSU. So it's not any individual player. It's just, you know, there's a lot of distractions. But I that is one of my goals this offseason, to try and figure out which state produces the kids that struggle the most with doing the right things. I would find a deep dive on that to be very interesting. Part of the reason why I don't want to do it is that, knowing me, I would actually try to do this and then someone else just release it right before I'm done. Shout out to Temple today, getting an SEC school to play on their campus. That is truly incredible, to get an SEC school on your campus. Temple, it's great leadership. I got my aunt, the Lemony Twang aunt, texting me at 1:15 in the morning, saying Brian Kelly was rude. I also get a also thought this was interesting. The biggest piece of LSU related content that generated the most revenue for me was a tailgate mix. I made one last week, and then they said, hey, can you make us another one? And they upped the price. I said, we want to give you more. It was so good the first time. And honestly, I thought it was I spent 10 hours doing it. I honestly thought it wasn't that great. I posted it on Patreon, and then I posted the 30-minute one. So if you love remixes and hearing some amazing calls, and I put a few DJ effects in there, go to the Patreon page. Oh, you had an hour drive home? Well, I'm glad I'm here for you. I don't think Clemson's bad. I really don't. I just think, you know, for me, they're obviously not bad. Georgia Tech's good. Troy is always a team that punches above its weight. And our defense is elite. So there's a story to be told in all of Clemson's losses. They were all close. But they didn't play well in any of them. Really on either side of the ball. It's coaching. Now, has Dabo lost his fastball? Maybe so. Look, there are some things that change as you age when you have success. So I'm nowhere close to Dabo's success when it comes to being a media member or a YouTuber. Well, let's just say 5 years from now, all the things that I do is still in existence. YouTube is still a thing. I'm not taken over by an AI amalgamation of me or anything like that. But let's just say 5 years from now that all of this is still happening. And let's just say it is 1:19 in the morning in the year, what, 2030. And let's just say I'm still doing a stream like this one. I don't know if that one's going to be as good as this one, because a whole lot's going to have changed. I hope by then I have had a lot of success doing national media coverage. I hope I have a few kids. I hope I've made a gazillion more dollars or whatever. But it's still the same thing. It's still producing compelling YouTube content. And I think the same thing is true with Dabo. He did do a few pivots this offseason, going into the portal some, hiring a respected coach outside of his circle. But maybe he's just not as good. He's not bad, but he's just not as good. Because that roster is good. It's good. I don't know. Vanderbilt looks good. That's a good point, Almighty Finn. Matt says Lagway was more responsible for points than our offense. Yeah. There's value in not throwing the game away. Like the thing that really sucks when you break down quarterbacks is the best QBs roughly 3% of their plays are actually exciting. Seriously, like 3% of Tom Brady's plays that he has ever had are truly exciting. But you know what's funny? The other 96 were good to mid, and only one was disastrous. So much of playing quarterback is just avoiding disasters. Don't throw the football to the other team. Don't give the game away. Louisiana Tech got him a win. 49-14 versus New Mexico State. Let's go. Y'all, it is crazy that it's 1:23 in the morning and there's still 150 of y'all in here. That's awesome. Well, it says 453. That number is always inaccurate. I feel like I've been kind of mid tonight. I really do. I feel like I don't think I've lagged this stream, but I feel like kind of like Caden Durham. And I feel like I'm a Caden Durham level streamer, but I'm only giving you 15 carries for 93 yards. I'm not giving you bad, but I'm giving you good. Just not my normal elite level. That's on me. Okay. Now, thanks to our friends at Labor Therapy, I want to show you the final stats from this game. Garrett Nussmeier, 15-27, 220, a tutty and a pick. Overall, Florida outgained us by 50 yards. Penalties about the same. Florida had 13 more first downs than us. Third down conversion rate, 4-14, not that great. And it's interesting. Last year, we ran 40 more plays in Florida. This year, Florida runs 24 more plays than us. Now, we'll say, pick sixes do heavily influence this, but like I've said in every Thursday night live stream where you get a betting play for me, I am betting every LSU game under. Just like in 2023, I blindly took every LSU over. Okay, this bet with your means, but put a quarter of a unit on the under for every LSU game. You'd be a rich person right now. So there you go. A big thank you to all our super chatters. Yusha, Wright, JB, Jace Max. I think Jace Max. No! Wright, JBT wins it by 10 cents. 10 cents. But Jace Max is still in here. So Jace Max is the champ. It is so damn late. Oh, man. I can't wait to start this film study, y'all. I'm so fired up. I do want to talk about one macro college football thing. From Dennis Dodd, CBS. To watch all FBS games today, these are all the networks you would need. ABC, Fox, CBS, CBSSN, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN Plus, SEC Network Plus, ESPNU, FS1, Paramount Plus, Peacock, HBO Max, YouTube, True TV, TNT, Spectrum, Big Ten, SEC Network, SEC Network Plus, ACC Network, Mountain West Network, the CW Network. I don't know what the hell NEC Front Row is. That sounds made up. And this is from NCAA.com. It's a problem. DJ Lagway or hot dog water? Which one stinks more? Well, right now, I would probably say DJ Lagway if we're talking about literal stinking, because he just played a football game. I don't care if you shower after a game, there's still going to be some stench. Hot dog water doesn't really have a smell. It doesn't really even have a taste. It's just hot dog water. Which is ass. Do I think this team is a natty team right now? No. I mean, that's crazy. But can they be? Yeah. I do think there is a piece of me that's happy to get to the playoffs this year. I'll tell you that right now. Win a playoff game, that would be great. Home playoff game would be even better. So there you go. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom. Now, if you want more of me, I'm about to go post my game grades. Patreon.com/LSU football. Once again, special thanks, Labor Therapy, LaborTherapy.com. And tonight, we are doing some leftover grilled chicken. Let's go. Ha, ha, ha. Let's go. Ooh.